the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. If a friend, if you ever overheard a friend talking about you to others, what would you like to hear what that friend says about you? How you look? Maybe about your personality or how intelligent you are. Maybe about your sense of humor, your hobbies, your achievements. Just what would you want to hear that friend say about you? But what about this? That Charlie, he goes around doing good. You know who the Bible described in that way? Jesus. Jesus was described. He went around doing good. That's a remarkable compliment. But some of us, particularly in this modern day, might get embarrassed. You know, being good. Rated G movies. Have you ever known? You know, most of these movies don't want to be rated G. So they put in something to make it either PG or PG-13 preferably. They don't really want R, but they would like that PG-13. They don't want to be too good. By good, I don't mean a good show. I mean good. Or, you know, we're kind of sometimes ashamed of good. Isn't that strange? Now, our friends, we want our friends to treat us good, don't we? We want our family to treat us good. But we don't always want to be considered good. When I was, I'm trying to think, 9th grade, I was living in Tennessee, up around Nashville, just before we moved to Plymouth, as a matter of fact. I was going to gym class. You got to go into a locker room, and first you got to, you know, change your clothes, so your PE clothes. And as I was changing clothes, two boys came up to me and they said, "Is it true?" And I stopped. "Is what true?" "That you're good." And I said, "Well, what do you mean by being good?" "Well, everyone says you're so good that you must be a Jesus freak." And I said, "Well, I go to church." "Well, yeah, well, we do that too, but everyone says you're good." I was confused. But it's uncool to be too good, isn't it? It's not what the world is looking for in us. But yet we expect family to be good to us. We expect our friends to be good to us. And we're good to our friends. But that was Jesus' reputation. He went around doing good. Everything he touched, lives seemed to get better. He went into a town and there was a little man in a sycamore tree. And when he left that town, what did Jesus say? What happened? You know, this day, something wonderful happened. This man has found God. And that man said he'd do what? If he stole anything or took anything wrongly, he would give it back even more than he took. Something wonderful had happened. Or what about the sick people that came to Jesus? Were their lives not touched and made better because they met Jesus? When Jesus came to town, you noticed that good things were happening. Lonely people encountered love. Sick people discovered health. Guilty people found forgiveness. I think of the woman who was caught in adultery. They brought her and they wanted to stone that woman to death. And really, Jesus' answer surprised me. "Okay, stone her. But you who is without sin, cast the first stone." Isn't that amazing? Is that what we would expect? Yeah, go ahead, stone her. But the one that's without sin, throw the first stone. Amazing. And then when all the people finally left, what did Jesus say? Is there no one left to charge you? Then I don't charge you either. Go away and sin no more. He forgave her. He spread goodness generously and everywhere. He offered His friendship to all who would accept it. He gave us a supreme way to think of goodness. What it is, what it's like, and how it acts. This is obvious enough to be kind, to be moral, is to express good. And many of us volunteer to do good causes, charity causes. Many of us give freely to charity causes. Many of us would mow our lawns for elder Christians or for elderly neighbors. We forgive when we are wronged. We refuse to gossip. We resist doing anything that would tear down others. We share what we have. We are kind to our brothers and sisters. That's kind of hard at times, isn't it? We even go to church regularly. We pray. We read the Bible. We do all the good Christian activities, don't we? We might even do the supreme good, point someone to Jesus, or what's considered the supreme good. Jesus was described as one who went around doing good. And we Christians, we're expected to do likewise. Stefan's verse, Hebrews 13:16. Do not forget to do good to others and to share with them, because such sacrifices please God. And sometimes spreading goodness is exactly that, isn't it? Sacrifice. Sometimes we're expected to do something unpleasant, something we don't like. It takes away our precious time. It costs us money. It may even be something we don't like to do or don't want to do. You know, Jesus said, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Not only that, James says, anyone who knows to do what is right but doesn't do it is sinning. Goodness is something we do. But where does goodness come from? Well, one place, Jesus says it begins in us. Listen to this, Matthew 12:35. Good people have good things in their hearts, and so they say good things. But evil people have evil in their hearts, so they say evil things. We do good because Jesus said there was good things in our hearts. This is how goodness, at least in the ideal world, should operate. But it doesn't always work that way, does it? We may instead do good because we're afraid of the consequences if we don't do good. We're afraid to get caught by our parents. So we do good. We do what is right. We're afraid maybe we're going to get caught by God. So we do what is right. Or maybe the police. So we tend to do good for this motive. Or maybe we do good because we want something. I want something that Zona can do for me, or something that Zona has that I need to borrow. I might play good for Zona. Or I might be good so you people think I'm a good person. That's known as hypocrisy. You see, sometimes we do good for false reasons, don't we? That's also known as hypocrisy. We put on a show. But is that goodness? As the Bible sees goodness? It may produce good results, but it can Can it be honestly called good? On one level, yes. Most of us are trying to do our best. Our efforts are sincere. And we think, because I'm sincere, shouldn't my goodness count for something? Most of you know Mother Teresa, don't you? Or at least who she was. Christians in Germany asked me, do you honestly believe that even though that woman was probably never baptized, that God would condemn her after all that good she did? Well, what is good in the eyes of God? But on one level, even for false reasons, I guess you could say that doing good is good. Our motives might be mixed up at times, but most of us, on occasions, are aware that our goodness is not fully good. But on the other hand, there is another standard to measure good and goodness. And the results of this comparison are not always good, or encouraging, I should say. Yes, our motives are mixed. Our lives are inconsistent. We do good sometimes, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we do good for the wrong reason, but we do good. But listen to what the Bible says about good. Romans 3, the last part of verse 12. There is no one who does anything good. There is not even one. And Paul's quoting Psalms 14 there. Wait a minute. There is no one who does anything good? Is it what we've been doing good? Don't we do all of the right religious activities? Well, we're here at church on Sunday night. That's good, isn't it? Because where's everybody else? Aren't I better than they? Aren't I good because I'm here and they're not? Romans 3:23. All have sinned and are not good enough for God's glory. A depressing assessment. How can the Bible say that? How can it picture even good people as so lacking in goodness that they are going to be lost in eternity? The Bible measures us by a different standard. I'm making noises over here. There, I stopped. Just took willpower. But the Bible is measuring us by a different standard. Jesus one time came to town and a young ruler came to him. Remember what that ruler asked him? How that ruler addressed him? Good master. And remember Jesus' response? Why do you call me good? Only God is good. And the entire conversation pivots on that one simple question. And that one simple statement that came afterwards. Why do you call me good, and no one is good except God alone? The answer to the question ought to be, Jesus, I call you good because I recognize that you are God. The response of the statement ought to be, yes, Jesus, I realize that in the absolute sense, the sense that matters most, there is no one good except God alone. Now, Jesus, please make me good. Is that what the young man said, though? No. But why is this? Why is it that we should ask God to make us good? Can we not be good on our own? Well, let me tell you this. Goodness is given to us by God as a gift. It's not something we can attain in the sense that God is good. God will give me goodness deep down in my core character. Even before I begin to appear good to others, God has made me good. Now, before that can happen, I must first face my own lack of deep down goodness. At times I can be good. Ask my wife, my son. At times I cannot be good, or at the opposite of good. Once again, ask my wife and my son. How can I claim to be good if I'm not good all the time? But God gives us goodness as a gift. All have sinned. Am I a part of that all? Are you a part of that all? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin carries a high price. It carries consequences. But Jesus, who was truly good, died to take away those consequences. Romans 6:23, Paul says, when people sin, they earn what sin pays, death. But God gives us a free gift, life forever in Christ Jesus our Lord. Faith takes the gift. It holds it and values it. And then goodness can come. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul puts it this way. Christ had no sin, but God made him become sin that so in Christ we could become right with God. God sees me differently. As He looks at me, once I become a Christian, I'm talking about. When I become a Christian, God sees me differently. He looks at me, and now, instead of seeing my own character the way it was before, He sees the character of Jesus. He sees the goodness in Jesus. But it doesn't stop there. The Bible teaches us that the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. He plants goodness like a seed deep into our character, and it begins to grow. I keep getting better from the inside out, not because of me, but because of the Holy Spirit, whose fruit is goodness. Obviously, if you know me and if you know yourself, you recognize that the process of expressing this goodness is not instantaneous. And we should probably say, thank God that we don't have to be good instantaneously. It is in fact a long, slow struggle. Listen, I want you to listen. This is Paul. And he's speaking here in Romans chapter 7. And I'm going to read verses 15 through 25 of Romans 7. He's talking about a struggle here. We know that the law is spiritual. Now Paul, I'm pretty sure, is talking about the law of Moses here. But I am not spiritual, since sin rules me as if I were its slave. I do not understand the things I do. I do not do what I want to do, and I do the things I hate. And if I do not want to do the hated things I do, that means I agree that the law is good. But I am not really the one who is doing these hated things. It is the sin living in me that does them. Yes, I know that nothing good lives in me. I mean, nothing good lives in the part of me that is earthly and sinful. I want to do the things that are good, but I do not do them. I do not do the good things I want to do, but I do the bad things I do not want to do. So if I do things I do not want to do, then I am not the one doing them. It is sin living in me that does these things. So I have learned this rule. When I want to do good, evil is there with me. In my mind, I am happy with God's law. But I see another law working in my body which wars against the law that my mind accepts. The other law working in my body is a law of sin, and it makes me its prisoner. What a miserable man I am. Who will save me from this body that brings me death? I thank God for saving me through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, Paul, who was called himself a Pharisee of the Pharisees, Paul, who worked at being good according to the law of Moses, said, I couldn't do it. That meant what? He was a sinner. But he recognized that he was saved through Jesus Christ, the Lord. Goodness is growing in Christians. It can be a slow and often a painful experience, but it is certain. We shed our bad ways and wrong motives and live out our gift of goodness. Those closest to you might recognize over your lifetime changes. They recognize that in some things you have gotten better, but still nowhere near perfect. But they notice that goodness is growing in you, that the Spirit of God is changing you. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness. God has started this process within us, and God won't quit. Ask yourself, what can I do differently today? How can I cooperate with the Spirit of God who has planted goodness in my heart so that people will look at me and see a glimpse of the righteousness of God? What is the next step? Well, before the goodness of God can be planted in you, you must in faith accept baptism in the Lord Jesus. For only there is the Spirit of God available that He might plant the fruit of goodness within you. Galatians 3, starting verse 25 and verse 26. Now the way of faith has come, and we no longer live under a guardian. You were all baptized into Christ, and so you were all clothed with Christ. This means that you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And then in Galatians chapter 5, this is where Paul talks about the gift of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, starting with verse 22. But the Spirit produces the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law that says these things are wrong. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their own sinful selves. They have given up their old selfish feelings and the evil things they wanted to do. We get our new life from the Spirit, so we should follow the Spirit. We must not be proud or make trouble with each other or be jealous. See, this is a gift. Being good and having goodness that counts comes from God. We can never, by any actions, ever be good enough to earn the right of salvation. The goodness we need is a gift of God. So why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins and receive the gift of the Spirit. Or pray, if you have been baptized, that God will work with you, that you might truly work on goodness. But remember, goodness is a gift of God. Without that gift, we will never be good enough, ever. Will you not come as we stand and sing?